From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of December 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Harry Cooney of Growmark will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. In agricultural news, Europe and Russia have reached a deal that should make way for the former Soviet state to become a member of the WTO. China is expected to raise interest rates in order to slow inflation, and Informa Economics has raised its estimate of the Australian wheat crop, that despite the ongoing poor weather conditions down under. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear from Daryl Good's Weekly Outlook podcast posted to the Farm Doc website yesterday. And in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will be here to talk about the agricultural weather forecast on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower in the nearby December contract for the soft wheat. It's a wheat at $7.43, down 9 cents for the day. March at $7.84 3/4, 8 1/4 lower. And a May soft red winter at $8.05 1/2, down 6 1/4. July futures, the harvest month, $8.03 1/4, down 4 1/2 cents. December corn, 6 1/2 lower, $5.47 1/4. The settlement price, the March at $5.61 3/4, down 6 1/4. May, $5.69 3/4, down 6 1/2. July at $5.74 1/4, down 6 1/2. And December, $5.24 1/4 for next year, a nickel lower. January soybeans, $12.85 1/2, 3 cents lower. The March at $12.94 1/4, down 1. The May futures were up 0.75 cents to settle at $12.97 3/4, and July at $12.99 3/4 in the bean pit, a penny and a quarter higher. The November futures at $12 even were up 1 1/4. December bean meal at $3.43, down $2.50. December soybean oil at $53.39, 26 cents higher on the day. The live cattle futures down $1.10 at $102.27 1/2 in the December. February at $104.55, $1.87 1/2 lower. And January feeder cattle today, $117.22 1/2, down $1.27 1/2. The March futures at $118.17 1/2, $1.47 1/2 lower. And December lean hogs on the afternoon settled at $60.05 100 pounds. They finished the day down 30 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby contract in the crude oil, down 77 cents a barrel at $88.62. Ethanol trading at 206 2/10. That's 0.8 cents lower. Natural gas at 439 9/10, down 8 9/10 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 0.8 cents lower at $2.46 6/10. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,408.30, down $7. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently up about 58 points at 11,420. The U.S. dollar at 79.84 is up 0.26, and the CRB index at 315.62 is down 1.67 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon in Urbana-Champaign. Mostly sunny skies. A high near 18 degrees. Wind chills will be about 1 to 6. Northwest winds between 10 and 13 miles an hour this afternoon. They'll gust all the way to 16 miles an hour. Partly cloudy this evening. A low of 5 degrees. Wind chill values then between negative 5 and 0. West-northwest winds between 6 and 9 miles per hour. On Wednesday, should be mostly sunny, a high near 23 degrees. Wind chill values between negative 5 and 5. West-northwest winds between 5 and 7. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 12 degrees. Wind chill values between 5 and 10. Calm winds becoming southeast around 6 miles an hour. Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies, a low or rather high near 33. South-southeast winds between 7 and 16. They'll gust as high as 21. And then by the time we get to Thursday evening, a 30% chance of snow showers before midnight. Mostly cloudy skies. The low on Thursday evening, 26 degrees. Friday should be partly sunny, a high of 37. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 26. Saturday, rain and snow likely. Cloudy with a high near 37. More at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Bob Baisdiffer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. We're joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at the agricultural commodity markets in Chicago. Hi, Wayne. How are you today?
Well, just fine, Todd. What a beautiful sunny day outside now.
Yeah, I'd rather have sunny and calm winds, although it's a little windy out there, than gray skies and warmer temperatures, because, oh, the wind can cut through you when it gets cold, can't it?
Yes, it can.
Well, speaking of cutting through you, what happened in Chicago today?
Well, they sort of cut through the good news of the night when some of the House Democrats got to talking and on the airwaves today, saying they weren't very happy with their fearful leader done, and saying he'd agree with Republicans on extending the tax cuts. And that took a little enthusiasm out of the crude oil market and out of the dollar going down that way. So at that point in time, we started turning around the wheat and the corn market, and I think that we saw a little profit taking once we went lower on what we thought was good news for the day, and it was a buy the rumor, sell the fact type effect, and instead of our turnaround Tuesday, we turned things around on Tuesday.
Well, she went lower, but it was really, and that was a real outside influence, although I suppose you could look at crude oil and possibly the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the dollar and say, well, the dollar was a bit higher, that might move markets lower, although that hadn't been the case recently. Crude oil was currently trading down just about 80 cents. What are the fundamentals that you really want to pay attention to this week? And you can include the USDA report if you'd like.
Well, of course, the USDA report's due out Friday morning, Todd. You know, the average guess for a carryover number for corn is around that 803 mark. In November, the government was saying the carryout would be 827 million bushel there on the corn. On the soybeans, the November guess was 185, and the average guess now is 167. So they're looking for us to knock that down a little bit. And wheat basically just stays the same at 848, 849. So this is generally not a report that we even pay attention to. We generally say there's no grain reports in December that amount to anything. But this time we are going to keep our eye on to see what they do as far as the carryout's concerned going on that way. I think that was as much that the stock market didn't have carry through trading of good attitude today, that we also felt that when they thought they were pumping more money in the economy, that we'd have to be printing more money and making more money available to those that are still laid off by extending the unemployment credits and on the Social Security tax that they wouldn't be collecting, that money would be spent in the economy. And when that sort of got stifled, why that, or the stock market didn't move up with enough enthusiasm, why that sort of stifled some of the other markets, Todd.
What do you think will happen the rest of the week in the marketplace, and should producers be standing on the side?
Well, that's my attitude for right now. I still think we've got a very strong demand picture here. I think that you know, we are, our stocks to use ratio in corn is the lowest it's been for quite a few years, and it's actually the lowest in 15 years, and that we've got some tremendous bean sales. There was all sorts of export sales being announced today and talked about. So I think that all in all, the fundamentals are going to hold this market together for right now. Now, does it have to rally a bunch right now? No. But we do look for a little better days than today.
Anything else to add before let's go?
That's about it today, Todd.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on a Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear Wayne again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can find all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and Commodity Week. It's all at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the European Union and Moscow have reached a deal settling outstanding trade issues, which should smooth the way for Russia to become a member of the World Trade Organization next year. Russia is the only major trading power which is not part of the Geneva-based WTO, and over the past years had been working to settle bilateral trade issues ranging from export duties to meet import restrictions. Russia now still has to settle some outstanding issues with the WTO itself before it can join the organization. The agreement underscored the improving relations between Europe and Russia. In the first 9 months of 2010, Russia was the EU's third biggest trading partner after the United States and China. China's official newspaper today says that the PRC is likely to raise interest rates in the coming days in a demonstration of the government's resolve to tame inflation. In a banner headline across its front page, the China Securities Journal said that this upcoming weekend offered a, quote, sensitive window for a rate rise, with official monthly economic indicators, notably the Consumer Price Index, likely to show an increase in inflationary pressure when released on Monday, December 13th. Informa Economics on Monday raised its estimate of the Australian wheat crop at a time when relentless rains in eastern Australia have hurt crop quality. Informa estimated Australia's 2010-11 wheat production at 26 million tons, up from an estimate of 25.2 million last month. But the firm also acknowledged concerns about crop quality that have fueled the rally in futures trade. Informa did not specify how much of Australia's wheat crop would be downgraded to feed quality, but some analysts were expecting supplies of milling wheat at a meager 250,000 tons, roughly one-tenth of the harvest. China's government today says that drought has affected winter wheat crops in 17% of China's wheat-growing areas in the country's northern breadbasket, and dry weather is forecast to extend until spring next year. Some 3.87 million hectares of planted cropland was hit by a drought because of higher-than-normal temperatures and a shortage of rainfall. China's State Flood Control and Drought Relief Headquarters says that drought could last until spring, and most areas are forecast to have higher-than-normal temperatures during the period, which is critical for crop development. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. Now up next, you know, the price of corn, well, it's been strong, but still looking for direction. Ag economist Daryl Good has penned an article on the fundamentals of the marketplace. I'll have more from his weekly Outlook podcast. The article can be found on the University of Illinois FarmDoc website. It's on the front page entitled Corn Prices Looking for Direction. In it and the related podcast, Daryl Good notes that the price of corn had, by December the 6th, regained about half of its November losses, and that cash prices had tightened up even more. Well, the ag economist writes a number of factors continue to influence corn prices, with the market trying to weigh the negatives against the positives. There's some concern, he says, about the large long positions held by both index and managed funds and the possible negative impact of the liquidation of some of those positions. Such activity could have some short-term impact on the price movement, but over a longer period, Daryl Good maintains prices will follow fundamental value. As is often the case, there is uncertainty about the conflicting fundamental factors. Take ethanol, for instance.
One of the largest uncertainties is the fate of the ethanol blender's tax credit. That credit is currently at 45 cents per gallon, but is set to expire on January 1st. Congress could choose either to renew the credit at the current or lower level, or let the expiration stand. A renewal of the tax credit, even at a lower level, would point to continued strong ethanol demand and the likelihood of ethanol production exceeding the mandate in 2011.
Without the tax credit, ethanol production, thanks Darrell Good, would presumably not drop below the mandate. The relationship between ethanol and gasoline prices would determine if production exceeded the mandate, while the level of ethanol and gasoline prices would influence the price of corn. Current ethanol and gasoline prices favor ethanol blending. That is, ethanol prices are lower than gasoline prices, and that would support corn prices at current or higher levels. Prospects for corn exports are a bit mixed at this point, writes Darrell Good. China denies that it plans to import significant quantities of corn from any source in the near future. At the same time, many analysts believe the PRC will need to import more substantial amounts of corn yet this marketing year. On another front, ongoing wet weather is affecting the quality of the Australian wheat crop, suggesting a larger portion of that crop will be feed wheat rather than milling quality wheat. More feed wheat in the world market could compete with corn exports. Then there is the U.S. wheat crop.
In the U.S., the hard red winter wheat crop has gone into dormancy under generally dry conditions and with very low condition ratings. The fate of that crop will not only be important to the wheat market, but might be important for corn. Lower wheat production could provide a modest boost for corn feeding, but very poor winter wheat conditions next spring could result in some replanting to other crops, including feed grains.
On the supply side for corn, only modest and scattered rainfall in central and eastern portions of Argentina have kept that southern hemisphere production under questionable conditions. Planting has been slowed, and concerns about the crop size remain. A shortfall in Argentine production would support U.S. corn exports during the last half of the 2010-11 marketing year. It's likely then, says the U of I's agricultural commodities marketing professional, that corn prices will continue to trade in a relatively wide range, with daily price changes influenced by the news of the day. A substantial rally or decline in prices, he thinks, would require that fundamental factors begin to align in either positive or a negative direction. Those factors will be revealed in a fairly quick progression over the next 6 weeks as the United States Department of Agriculture releases its December and January reports. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Once a month, we talk with Harry Cooney. He's at Growmark in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry. Thanks for being with us.
Well, you're welcome.
Hey, I have a quick question. I don't know whether you will have seen anything about it or not. The president was in a press conference this afternoon. There was some talk that the compromise that he's looking to have between the Republicans and the Democrats over the next coming years will not only include extension of the Bush-era tax cuts and the benefits for unemployment, but that it might include something for biofuels. That's been on the wire service, but I didn't see anything that confirmed that while I was here on the air. Have you seen anything on it?
No, I have not. And in the background here, we do have cable TV, and I did not see anything about that on there. And I wasn't able to listen there. I didn't listen to the.
I listened to the whole of the conference, so he didn't mention it. But it might be a small enough piece that it would not get mentioned.
I would be interested myself to know. We'll have to be doing some digging to see how the status of those are. You see,
I've been on the air. I tried to call Bob Dineen out at the RFA, the Renewable Fuels Association, to see if he had any idea, because I figured if somebody knew, he would, and he wasn't quite available, so he's probably...
Well, he'd probably be one of the best ones, but I don't know at all.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey, let's talk about some of the things that you do know about. Are we looking at $3 gasoline?
Well, I think it's in the offing. Yes, I mean it. The trends in the market are higher highs and higher lows, and so when you have that type of a pattern of price out there, that's just a good definition of an uptrend. Typically, we would be more of bottoming prices out at this time of the year, but it seems like that with the world oil demand coming back, and several agencies are suggesting that this world oil demand in 2011 will reach new highs and even higher levels than what we had back in the go-go years of the 2007-2008. We've talked about this to a number of groups that we've been out to over the past several months, that this world oil demand is coming back, and this is going to provide the basis for part of the rally here over out into 2011. So I think that the $3 gas will be something that we'll probably see more often than we would like over the next year or so. And we were hoping for a better setback in the market here in December and January to get doing some contracting for 2011. Obviously, the market has really not set back much. We did have one minor setback right around Thanksgiving time. In fact, a lot of people in the motoring public would like to say that, it always goes up at the holiday. Well, in fact, at least over here around the Bloomington area, we actually had pump prices go down in the week of Thanksgiving, and that was about our early Christmas present, I think, because ever since then, we've just turned around and gone back higher.
And then on the contracting side, are you willing to make the compromise and contract at this point?
I think we're not there quite yet, but I think between now and Christmas, we will likely put out some recommendations to do buying to our FS member cooperatives, and in turn, they can talk to their end users about that. Yes, I think we will, because our research has suggested that even if you don't get a setback in the normal time that you should, and the normal time that you should have a nice setback is into from Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day, even if you don't get that setback, you'll go even higher out into the next year. We don't like these prices, but I think we'll probably have to start grabbing some to get ready for on out into the next year. Some of our FS members suggest that end users may want to do some buying before the end of the calendar year also for some tax purposes.
Okay, so we're looking at $88.50 for the nearby crude February at $89. Are we talking $90, $95, $100 crude in the 2011 fiscal year or calendar year, I mean?
With the trend up, and again, that's these higher highs and higher lows, you will eventually have higher prices. But I think in the near term, there's room for a nice little setback that should take us possibly down even into the mid-80s or so. I just don't know if we can get much below 80, though, this winter.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Well, I think that's about all. We're also watching the relationship of the stock market, and the stock market is affecting energies and the fact that it's in an uptrend also. So we'll look for lower prices and hope we can get them.
Okay. Thank you much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He is in Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. More on the agricultural point of view. We'll take a look at the weather in just 2 minutes.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Cotton Candy Day. Cotton candy was brought to the masses by William Morrison and John Wharton. They introduced it at the St. Louis World Fair in 1904 as fairy floss. Fairgoers snatched up the treat, paying 25 cents, half the price of admission to the fair, for a single box. The pair patented the first electric machine for spinning sugar in 1897. It's also Feast of St. Ambrose of Milan, patron of beekeepers. On this day in agricultural history in 1863, Richard Warren Sears was born. He developed his mail-order jewelry business into Sears, Roebuck & Company. By 1894, the Sears catalog was 507 pages long. In 1879, Charles Broly was born, a Canadian naturalist. His investigations were among the first to implicate DDT as an environmental threat. In 1909, Leo Baekeland was issued a patent for Bakelite, the first plastic that did not soften when heated. The patent is generally remembered as the heat and pressure patent, and it largely gave birth to the modern plastics industry. Bakelite has been used in everything from engine parts to jewelry to electronics. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the closing market report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming is with us today to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Lots of things in the offing. Where do you want to start around the globe? What's most interesting to you, Don?
Well, let's go to the southern hemisphere. Let's first go over to Australia, where they've been able to pick up some rain, and that trend is going to continue here into the next couple of weeks, especially the central, the northern, and the eastern areas, but also the south. Going to have some good chances for precipitation. In fact, many areas of Australia, especially those central and eastern areas, will have much above normal precipitation in some areas. Then if we go over to South America, now it's been real wet in northern South America as you get up into Colombia, as you get into central and northern Brazil, but the trend has been drier in Argentina, and that trend, at least here for another week in South America, will continue, where the north end of the continent, central end of the continent, wet, but the southern area is drier.
And then if you go back to Australia for me very quickly, usually we think of rain making grain. That's not really the case when you're with wheat. If it's wet, there's an awful lot of disease, and I think that's been the problem. It's been wet for quite a while in some of the growing regions there, hasn't it?
Well, it has, and that trend's going to continue, and also it hasn't been terribly warm either. Temperatures are... usually when you have wetter than normal conditions, you're cooler than normal, and that is not helping out though as well.
Okay, then let's turn our attention to the northern hemisphere, where cooler than normal looks like it's blanketed a large part of the upper part of the globe on both sides, here in the United States and in the former Soviet republics as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's amazing. We just rewind a little bit back into the summer when it was so warm and record-breaking heat in many areas of Russia. But now the tables have certainly turned, and we've seen some incredibly cold temperatures. Siberia had some minus 60s. The forecast for Western Europe and basically most of the European continent is going to see a much, much below normal temperatures, above normal snowfall. That will extend into portions of the Ukraine as well, as there are some pockets of some extremely cold air in the northern hemisphere right now. And this is something, Todd, that probably is something for the rest of the month and into the month of January we're going to see. We're going to see some episodes of some real cold weather in the northern hemisphere.
And that'll spill on both sides of the globe, so Russia will get it. We'll get it, too, here in the U.S.?
We will. In fact, again, if we go back to last winter, late December and early January, if you remember how stormy the East Coast was, how we had some big episodes of cold air outbreaks in the southeast United States into Florida. Well, here we go again. Florida is looking at an extended period of colder than normal temperatures and possible freezing conditions. And the coldest surge of air is going to come in late this weekend and early next week. We could see temperatures down into the low 30s to where they got last winter, all the way down into central Florida, maybe down as close as to Orlando. We'll just have to see how far that penetration of cold air goes. And basically from the Mississippi east, be ready for some much colder weather as we head into the next week to 10 days.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That's the closing market report. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.